I'm Angie and I'm an addict.
And
it's truly by God's grace that I stand here today. And it's an honor and a privilege to be standing here also. I am very nervous. Since Thursday, I've been nervous. But I know once I open my mouth, God can use me. And I'm looking for my husband. He's not in here yet. I'm just going to briefly qualify myself, and I want to talk about this topic. This has been one of the hardest topics to talk about because it's hard to forgive self. You can forgive everybody else, but you can't forgive yourself. I had, I'm a D.C. resident. And I'm one out of eight children. And in the family, we had two doping brothers and two drunk parents. And immediately, that should tell you something. Growing up in this family was very hard. But the love of my grandmother kept us going. Kept us going. And I say the love of my grandmother because I didn't know and realize today, without her being a strong survivor of the family, she kept this family together. Out of the eight sisters and brothers, all of us used but one. And I was the oldest girl, so you know I had four younger than me. What place and what position that placed me in. I ended up being the caretaker of the family with the alcoholic mother. So I began to do things at an early age, such as cook, clean, wash clothes. And in doing all those things as a child, I grew up fast. So as a child, you experiment with things. First the cigarette, then the marijuana. And then you know it escalates. Because I didn't put any of it down. I just kept right on using. And everything that I picked up, I abused immediately. I pick up people. I pick up things like habits, like anger, fear, frustration, a dishonesty. Because I mask it with all the things that one do. Thank you, honey. One do when you're growing up and you don't get all the things that you need from your parents. I learned how to take care of myself. And what an 11-year-old doing taking care of herself, it's not going to be a good job. I'm not going to get the structure that I need from a loving home. I started taking care of myself at 11. When my mother and father separated, something inside of me separated also. And ever since then till now, I've been looking for the love that I did not get as that 11-year-old child. I can love, but I can't receive it. And forgiving myself and allowing myself to love other people is always easy. I started using, like I told you, at 11 years old. And the one thing I found out when I used is it took me outside of myself. So the love that I didn't get, I didn't need anymore because I had the love addiction. I learned how to use everything that it was to use. I had a couple of favorites. One was acid. The other was heroin. And the other one was my favorite crack. And I think everybody can identify with that last one because that's the last one that brought me in here. And that was the one that keeps me here. The little girl inside has had a lot of fears as a child, and one of them is death of losing my mother. And I didn't know until early this week, I have a neighbor, and she's 12 years old, and her mother is an alcoholic, and I was talking to her in the Social Security office, and as I began to talk to this child, I asked her something. I asked her what was her fears. And she said, I'm fear that my mother's going to die. And immediately I began to tell her my story. That all of my life I walked around with that fear in the inside of losing my mother. Well, I'm here to tell you my mother died 3 years ago and that fear came to life. And that fear devastated me to a state of being that overwhelmed and shattered my life. Alcohol and drugs plays a major part in children. I see it's a lot of beautiful kids here today. Lord knows if you're sober, stay sober. Because the kids grow up like me. And they grow up with all this pain. And all these layers that have to go up under. You have to go down and down and down. And one of the layers that I had to get to was that fear of losing my mother. And after I lost my mother, I had so many defects that had attacked me. And one of them has been anger. One of them has been frustration. And the other one has been hurt. And then going through those things, the topic is start by forgiving self. I forgave that drunk mother when she was dying. All of my life I resented her and I hated her for what I had gone through. But the part that I see that I play in is that I continue to let that anger and that stuff grow and manifest into something that was bigger than me. I tell you today, I loved her. And I made amends to her. Because see, I wasn't this self-righteous little girl. I was a sick little girl. And I was seeking love from my mother. But my mother was sick too. Since being here, I found out something else about my mother that's affected me also. My mother suffered from depression. And when you got depression and alcohol mixed up, you got a big ball of confusion. I was a child that grew up and didn't know why my mother would do certain things like snatch phones out the wall and throw stuff against the walls and break up all the dishes. You know, back then they committed you into St. Elizabeth's. But my mother didn't go to St. Elizabeth because she had 8 children. My father said, oh, no, you ain't leaving me with all these little people. So he would work on her and help her get herself together. But that didn't last. That was just temporary solution at that time. And my mother left. My mother left us with my father. And her illness of depression and alcoholism escalated. And that created a monster inside of me. Because she left my daddy. And I did not understand depression. When my mom died, Lord and behold, here comes depression. I end up suffering from depression, and it's called bipolar. This disease of bipolar is worse than my addiction. It wants my life too. It tells me things like commit suicide. It tells me no one loves you, you're not worthy, and you're not capable having what you have. So every time I get something that's not of a familiar to me, I want to sabotage you. I want to sabotage my marriage. I want to destroy the relationship I have with my children because I'm a person that's not worthy. When I got here, the first person I had to forgive was myself for leaving my son in the house smoking crack in the bedroom was called abandonment. I didn't understand what abandonment meant then. My sponsor said you had abandoned your child because you left him alone. All these things that I'm finding out about me, I don't like. I would like to leave every day than be a mother because it's painful. Because I always try to be perfect in everything I do. I have another disease that's called perfectionism. And the defect of perfectionism will destroy you by itself. I've been here long enough. I had gone in intense therapy. I had been hospitalized. I've been on medication. But I had not found it necessary to use. Only through the grace of God. I don't know what your challenge is going to be to the newcomer. Every day in a bed of roses, you're going to get some pain in your life. You got to do what I did. You got to sit through the storms. Today, I got some peace just for today. It took me 3 years to get it after my mom died. I began to make amends to my mom before she died. And the first thing I asked her was to forgive me. And mom, I told my mom I forgave her. She was dying from cancer. For all you smokers, she died from throat cancer and tongue cancer. I quit smoking because of that. It's been 6 years since I had a cigarette. My mother would say to me, "What did you do?" She don't even remember the things that I had done wrong to her. But I never forgot the things she done to me. Isn't that something? She never can remember anything that I done to her. But I remembered everything that she didn't do right. But I asked my mother to forgive me. And I forgave my mother. It was easy making amends when I thought I was going to lose her. I often wonder, why did I waste so much time? If you're in here and you got a mother, that's another thing you can take with you today. She may not be here tomorrow. So making amends is very important. Sometimes the steps go out of order too. You may work the first step today and may have to work the 10th step tomorrow. But in all, they all work together for our good. I know today that I work all the steps in the course of a day. And the most important step that I know I'm doing right is not using. Sometimes my sponsor said, if you just don't use, you worked a good day. You had a good day, Angie. Because when I'm going through storms, sometimes I want to know why I'm not there and I'm over here. I want to know why I'm over here and I should be over there. See, Numbers of Clean Time will tell you with 11 and a half years, say, Angie, you shouldn't be right where you are. You should be working this hell of a program, doing all these other wonderful things. That's not the way God has intended for my life to be. God has allowed me to meet beautiful people. He allowed for me to get in some very difficult relationships with people. Some I had to say, forgive me, because my defects will self-destruct. I had to cut off my family since being here. One of my sisters, we were so close. And last year, I just couldn't take no more of her abuse. And I had to cut her off. And y'all was talking about love unconditional. I had learned to love her from a distance. And y'all, I would hear that so much when I first got here. You got to learn to love people from a distance. I didn't know what they were talking about. Today, I know what they're talking about. I have to allow my sister to be the sick individual she is. But I have a right to now allow you to put your sickness on me today. And I had to learn to accept her for where she was. And to love her in spite of her own self. But I had to remove me. Because every time a situation happened, I would feel so bad at the end of the day dealing with her. It was like, what is wrong with her? And then I stopped looking at her and said, there must be something wrong with me. And that was the first thing I would do. And every situation that happened in my life, I always think I'm the bad person. And it ain't always me. That's when I learned to accept some of it is mine, some of it is theirs. And I learned to separate the two. It's hard. I have to forgive myself every time I make a mistake in my marriage. They don't come with instructions. That's just like children. They don't come with no instructions. I went to the altar and this man gave me some vows and I supposed to obey them. And then they ain't told me about all this other stuff gonna come up in the marriage.
Well, he got defects too. But my husband is an addict too. I met him in here. He's sicker than me. I guess he said, I don't know who she's talking about. We'll talk about it later. But the bottom line is, I can laugh in here. I've learned how to laugh, cry. Bottom line is, I learned how to be me. And that's the most important thing. And forgiving other people, like I said, was very easy. That's been one of the easiest things for me to do. I can forgive Terrence and Joyce. But can't Terrence and Joyce forgive Angie? I found that to be easy. I can forgive others. But can they really forgive me? So what I do is, oh, they don't really forgive me, no way. I started taking something negative out of that and equating it with me. The topic is start by forgiving self. Powerful. That thing blew my mind when she said, which meeting you want to do? I said, I want to do the hardest one it is for me. And that's the hardest one. I beat up on me so much. I beat up on me a lot. I don't understand a lot of times why I do it. The defects just allow me to just do it. It depends on where my defect is today and which one I'm glaring tomorrow. I know I'm the best person that I can be with all the defects. My sponsor also told me something that I had to learn to live with, who I was, what I am, and what all the defects that I have. The glaring ones and the ones that ain't showed up yet, because I got some that ain't showed up yet. If I stay sober, they're going to come out too. But this defect that came out a month ago was anger. And it came out where I was in a food restaurant and a guy bumped into me. And when he bumped into me, I asked him, why did he bump into me? He said, I didn't touch you. I said, you came right in that door and with an attitude with my head going like this. Didn't realize where I was and what I was doing. I got home and I told my husband and my brother what I did. And they just looked at me. But the next day I woke up with overwhelming fear that I had could have gotten killed in this store. And right after I got in that, woke up, I told my husband I was scared. All the emotions in the inside was just unsettling with me. Because this girl, little girl, anger had started surfacing again. And I'm not afraid of anything. And that's scary for me. I've been walking around with this anger since my mother died. And I've been really, really scared. And I've been scared of myself. Because the disease that I have don't want me to live no way. It will sabotage everything inside of me and all the peace that I think I have can be erupted at any moment because of the anger. And the sixth step said, never be too angry enough to kill. Well, I have it today, y'all. And just right now, it subsided some. It scared me. So those defects that you think you done worked on, I heard it early in the meeting, they come back. And they come back in a different form. Because when I got here, I was angry with the world when I got here. My sponsor and my foundation and network of women know that I would cuss it. Every word came out of my mouth was a curse word. Uh-huh. I call it every name but the child of God in meetings. I didn't care. But after I stayed here long enough, I started loving the people that was in my life.
I started respecting the people that was in my life. Now I have to respect his anger because it's not to be played with. I don't want to ever feel like I felt a month ago. I have to forgive myself for allowing myself to get that angry with somebody else. But the most important person, I was angry with me because I acted out like that. When you get here and you work on some principles in your life, you don't like the way you used to act when you grew up in here. I didn't like the way that made me feel. I don't like when I act out with my children. I don't like when I have to seem like I'm talking to my husband like a two-year-old because he can't hear sometimes. Y'all know y'all fall on deaf ears. And I had to break stuff down with honey, you know. And he look at me. She is sick as I don't know what. I be saying, we both sick. Don't forget. And we get into that, but we be joking. The bottom line is, I'm out of time. That's the bottom line. I feel good. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what I just said. But I know this, that if you get started in here working on yourself when you come in that door. And I ain't talking about working those steps. I don't know where y'all people come from working on step one with 30 days clean. I didn't even know what step one was for a whole year. I didn't see where I was powerless. I didn't see I had a disease. I didn't understand the unmanageability. But that works for y'all if y'all do it. I just had to learn how to stay sober one day at a time. And that's for the newcomer. You ain't got to work all that other stuff. We want to know if you're going to stay clean first. The literature will teach you how to do all that other stuff. For me, I work on stay clean first. And that's the best day. Just staying sober. Because that can be the hardest thing to do. And all this other stuff I learn how to do by keep coming back. This evening, I hope you keep coming back and that you continue to forgive yourself for all the things that you've done too, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. Tonight, I forgive me, and I'm going to keep coming back.
I'd like to thank Angie, for sharing, and for our next speaker is Gigi.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm Gigi and I'm an addict.
Hi, Gigi.
Y'all looked at me funny when I did that, but you see, I had to let God sit down there because he carried me so long.
Yes, sir. He needs
a rest.
Yes, sir.
No. Oh, boy. I am nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shaking like a leaf. You know, I want to thank Chesapeake and Potomac area for asking me to come share. I'm going to get Shirley after this, you know. I really don't know where to begin, but let's rock and roll and let God be in control.
That's right. That's right, baby. That's right.
I come from Chicago. That's where I was born and raised. I stayed there 35 years. And then I moved to South Carolina. In Chicago, that's where my addiction began. And when I moved to South Carolina, that's where it hit the peak and I hit the bottom. You know, throughout my life, you know, you're raised up with these parents and they give you these guidelines you go by. And it was normal to drink and drug on the weekends. And you go to work. You know, they did this. So this is the way I was raised. This is what I did when I got grown. I did this too, except I kind of went overboard, you know. I couldn't control mine,
mm-hmm.
You know, and throughout this addiction, I developed some behaviors that wasn't taught to me.
Mm-hmm.
These were things I acquired myself, you know, like dating two or three men and Come on. By women. I got to be
Go
honest.
Ahead. Come on, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So much
I didn't care about hurting nobody. All I cared about is what I can get for me. You know, at that time, I thought life was sweet. I was doing what I needed to do for me to carry me on, you know. But, I don't know, I guess when I moved to South Carolina, you know how you take yourself with you. Because, mm-hmm. see, my addiction had got bad in Chicago, so I gone down south and hang out down there, you know. And I forgot I carried me with me. Because, mm-hmm. see, when I got there, first, it wasn't that bad. You know, I was trying to get a new job and all this stuff. You know, you have to pass these drug tests nowadays, y'all. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I smoke on Thursday. And when they come to drug test me to pass this, you know, I pass. Flying colors. You know, and I don't know, you know how you think you get away with something, but you finally get caught? Well, see, I got caught. You know, and it didn't make no difference. My addiction had took over. It had me in the grips. I wanted what I wanted, when I wanted, and I want it right now. Give me more of anything you got. You know? So, I don't know. I call myself being a little playgirl and a little madam. And, you know, I did some terrible things. I have a son that's 32 right now. I have 4 grandchildren. I have a beautiful mom, and I just recently met my father, my real father. And I did some things to them that I'm not too proud of.
Yes.
Okay? And when she gave me this topic, I was like, how she know I'm there? You know? Because I allowed a lot of things to go on in my life because I wasn't able to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. See, I could forgive you because you hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all taught me that. See, I had to pull out that 4th step and find out that stuff that I had did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I was able to forgive you and make those amends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I still carried that guilt of what I had done and how I had hurt you. So what I did, I tried to do whatever I could for you so I could feel good about myself. You know? And in doing this, pain set in because I let you just run all over me or do what you wanted to do to me,
mm-hmm.
or say what you wanted to say to me.
And
I felt the pain, but you okay. Because, see, I'm trying to make sure that you know I forgive you, and I want you to know that it didn't work. I stayed in pain. I stayed hurting. You know, I found no joy. I found no peace, even in recovery. I was walking around. I was like, yes, I'm happy, joyous, and free. But the BS, and excuse me if I use some colorful words, I try not to cuss because my significant other does not like it. But, honey, if it happens, forgive me. I'm do that right now, okay? I'm trying to get this nervousness off of me, y'all. So
yeah.
If I move around a little bit, y'all.
Do what you got to do.
I'm used to my sponsor being here, but unfortunately, she's one of those circus speakers, and she way down there near the beach where I come from, and she down there speaking too. So I know she's here in spirit with me. But I let some things happen to me. You know, and I'm kind of skipping around. I'm going to tell you the things that I was not able to let go of to let me be forgive. Let me forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
let me forgive me. I had a second husband. I've been married twice, y'all. You know, I had to have some fun. I got pregnant very early, so I had to marry that daddy because I didn't want no shame in my gang.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got married again at the age of 21. And this husband, the second husband that I had, was the sweetest thing in the world. Very loving and kind. Gave me everything I wanted, you know. And I had learned that I had an alternate lifestyle inside of me. So I was on both sides of the fence, you know. And I truly hurt this guy. I hurt him so bad that he died. And I've had so many people come tell me, you killed him of a broken heart. And I probably did. I probably did. You know, but I wasn't able to let go of that pain of the when I had to do that fourth step and then do that fifth step, and I found out what harm I had did, how much pain I had caused him. It gave me so much pain. And at the time that it went on, I didn't think anything of it. You know, you just kind of brush through it with a minimum of concern. You know, and it was really hard for me to forgive myself. And throughout the life as I got clean and relationships, I tried to make up for that pain that I had caused him or anyone by thinking I'm doing good, you know, or giving you this because I think that's what you want, you know. But in the long run, if it was money, here it is, and I'm broke, you know. I'm hurting, but I want you to feel good. And that's what I was making me thinking. I'm making me feel good, too. You know what I'm saying? Next day, I'm sick as a dog because I ain't got nothing to go on. And throughout this process, that's what happened. Until I got to thinking one day, why am I going through so much with relationships? Why do I keep feeling this pain? And some little voice said, why don't you just stop? Real simple. I said, okay. And I stopped and let God guide someone to my life today. I'm happy today with my relationship. But with that son of mine, whew. See,
I got one too.
I went through the thing with him because I felt I really did him wrong, you know, in growing up. You know, you know how you say you would never do what your parents did to you? You know? And I ended up doing just about the same thing. You know, I gave him to his father. I was going to school and stuff, but his daddy wasn't doing nothing. Here, take your son. I'm tired of him. You know? I can play around now, be free to do what I want to do. You know? And I know he deals with that today. I did my alternate lifestyle, which he disliked, you know. I took money from him. I took food out of his mouth. I took love from him, the love that a mother's supposed to have for a child. And I think I felt like I had destroyed all that. And he constantly went in and out of the prison system, you know. And here I am, the good mother. Every week I'm driving all the way down to Georgia just to give him some money or to see him, you know, to do this, to do that. And when he gets out, y'all, he's been down there 5 years now. When he gets out, y'all, I got this $500 waiting on you here and a place for you to stay. Because, see, I want to make sure you know I love you, you know. This is the way I want you to forgive me for the stuff that I did to you. This is my way of making amends. They say when you make amends, you got to get this stuff back. You got to pay them bills back. You got to do that. I stole from here your money back. Okay? My son is an addict like me. And we were talking. I have a brother that's also a recovering addict. And we talked to him, and he decided to come in the program, and we thought he was doing so good. So good. I keep forgetting that he was a con artist like me, you know. And I had started acquiring some things. It was some goals I wanted, you know, because, see, with my addiction, I never did anything except use. I didn't finish college. I did finish high school. I didn't finish college. I got ahead on me. Just drugs got me. But this kid was slowly stealing from me constantly. And I would overlook it because I felt like it was okay. You know, I did him so wrong. You know, and I had hurt him so much that it was all right for you to do this to me, but it wasn't. And again, I said, God, I am tired now. And the same thing God told me then was stop. But I didn't listen. Y'all, being in this program got me I bought me a new home. You know, my father gave me some land. I put me a nice home on there. Y'all, I worked diligently every day, two jobs, saving my money. When they bought the home out there, we got all this done and everything. And moved in my house, went out of town on a boat cruise with the convention committee that I worked with. When I came back, my house was broken into. Y'all know who did it. That was the last straw. I finally heard what God said. It took that hard knock for me to finally hear what God was saying. Let him go. You know, forgive yourself this time. See, I've been forgiving you all the time. Why you can't forgive yourself for this? I'm in control of this. I'm in control of you and your son. Let him go. He is mine. You know? And I had to do that. I had to put him in jail and go to court. And him saying, Mama, please, Mama, please, Mama, please. And I didn't want to hear it. I turned my head. I'm sorry. Everybody said, oh, you're so hard. You're so hard. Y'all just don't know what I went through. And then you might know. Because, see, I said, my mom through the same thing. You know? But I had to forgive me and carry on. Well, today my son is, he's out. He's got a nice girlfriend. He says he's clean. I don't know. He moved out of town, which I am very glad. He had said he wanted to come and stay at my house the weekend. I said, oh, no, you will not do that this weekend. You know, and it's hard. I hate to say it. It's hard. It's bad to be hard on your son like that, but I still don't trust him. You know? I had to forgive me for what I've done to you. You know? Y'all know. Being in recovery has taught me a lot. Has helped me grow up so much. One more thing I struggle with, and I have a mama that's really... Everybody talks about how good their mom is. My mama's good, too. She's a sweet, manipulating person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know the harm that I've caused her and the pain that I've sent her through, but when y'all told me I could come in here and I could be happy, joyous, and free without the use of dope, y'all told me I didn't have to live in pain, but pain will come. And when it comes, just walk on the other side, because this too shall pass.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
See, with that mom, she likes to put her hand on me like this, because, see, now I'm the daughter that she wanted, but she still can't control me. You know, and that's what she likes to do, control me. And at one point, I was letting her do that because, see, I still couldn't forgive myself because I hurt her. I caused her pain. She cried many a nights, walking the floor, not knowing where I was, or was I being thrown out the 19-story project in Chicago, you know? Today, she is furious with me. And guess what? I'm okay. I had to forgive me for that pain that I have caused her, because I have made those amends with her. But now, Mom, listen, I have to live my life. I am tired of being walking in your shadows. I wear 7.5, you wear 7.5, but mine is wide and yours aren't. Two different shoes. You know, I got to wear my own today. I am not one of these long-winded speakers, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Wake up over there. I see you sleep. But don't laugh, girl. I'm serious. But I don't know. I'm just really glad. This is the first time I've been to a convention this large. You know, in our area, it's not really that big. Any of y'all ever want to come? Come to Hilton Head in February. We throw down. But I am really glad to be here, and I've truly enjoyed myself, and hope to enjoy the rest of this convention. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
We got some more time left, y'all. Anybody want to share? Come on.
Hi, Jeanette.
I don't know who's my sister.
Thank you.